آل محمد صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب إله العالمين، أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وجاهدوا في الله حق جهاده، هو اجتباكم وما جعل عليكم في الدين من حرج. صلوات. Human beings love comfort. In fact, if you see, most of the activities that most of the human beings perform in their day-to-day lives is to secure comfort in their lives. Everyone in their own different ways is struggling in their day-to-day lives. People going out to work 6 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours, struggle, work, hard work. Why? Because they want to work hard so they can provide comfort for themselves and their family. Even a small child, a newborn baby, seeks comfort. Why does a baby cry? Because there is something which is causing discomfort to this baby. It's looking for comfort. It cries. And as we grow and as our needs become more complex, we demand more comforts. We look for more comforts. We are in search of more things that will make our life comfortable. Slowly and gradually, our lives are set into different comfort zones, different things that we bring in our lives, we include in our day-to-day lives, we arrange our lives in a manner that we sit comfortably in our comfort zones. This is how all human beings are. Examples. Many of you, many people here, they have cars. It's a comfort. It's a tool which helps you to comfortably move from one place to another place. You buy a car, you start using it, it becomes one of your comfort zones. Now you are used to it. And if suddenly something happens and this car is taken away from you, you are discomforted. Why? Because now you have to walk from your home to your office. Before that, you comfortably come out, sit in your car and drive to your office or the place where you want to go. Now it's not there. It causes discomfort. Many people, most people here, they have maids in their houses. It's a comfort. It's a convenience. And it's a good comfort zone, it's a convenience to have, of course, if you are giving them fair compensation. You may answer that, Maulana, we are giving them fair compensation. But now, this answer is going to spark a discussion which I don't want to enter. Why? Because now the question will come, what is fair compensation? How do you define that? You may feel it's fair compensation, but how do you define fair compensation? Is giving compensation which barely allows that person to survive, barely allows them to run their lives, they don't end up in extreme difficulty, will that be counted as fair compensation? I leave you with that question. I don't want to enter very sensitive areas so early in my majlis. Something to think about. But it's a convenience having maids. It's a comfort zone which we are used to. Now if one of you leaves this place and goes to another country, another place where you don't have this convenience, then you realize that, oh, you feel a bit discomfortable. Why? Because those conveniences are not there. You may wonder, what am I trying to say? Am I trying to say that these comfort zones are all bad and we shouldn't have comforts in our life, we shouldn't have comfortable lives? We should always try and live a life of difficulty, pressure, stress. What's the answer to this question? The answer is yes and no. What do I mean? It depends. Many times the questions and the issues we face in our lives are not so simple. There are no one-line answers many times to many of our queries. And sometimes it happens with us. So people come and say, Maulana, I have this question, give me answer one line, yes or no. I don't need more explanation. So you tell him that, Baba, it's not possible. Some of the questions, there are details to it. It all depends on the situation. Someone comes and asks a Maulana that, I want to marry this girl, you know, give me an answer, yes or no. You can't give an answer, yes or no, so easily. There are so many things to be checked. Marriage is not a simple thing. There are criteria you have to check. You have to do research, you have to find out. It's not easy. So the question is, are comfort zones good or bad? Should we have comfort in our life or no? The answer is, it all depends. What you include in your life as your comfort zone. So let us take help from these verses of the Quran and try to answer this question. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Suratul Araf, verse number 32 and 33. So I'm giving the address. Okay. So these two verses are very important. They are defining for us the good comfort zones and the bad comfort zones. So the Holy Quran is saying that, look, comfort, enjoying Allah's blessings is not bad. In fact, the blessings, the worldly blessings, are for the believers. It's a very beautiful verse. It says, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَطَيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. O Prophet, say to these people, who has told them to forbid on themselves those good things, those good blessings that Allah has sent? وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ, the good sustenance, the blessings of this world. Why do some people forbid themselves these blessings? It's not right. قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. O Prophet, say to the people, these blessings, these halal pleasures and comforts are for the believers. قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا في الحياه الدنيا وخالصه يوم القيامه. And there's more to come, that these pure blessings in the hereafter are exclusive for the believers. Yes, in this world these blessings are shared by both a believer and a non-believer, and the believers are supposed to benefit from these blessings. But in the hereafter, these good blessings of Allah are reserved for the believers. So this tells us that we are really lucky that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that, look, these blessings, the worldly blessings, are for you. Why? Because you are a believer. And then there are more things to come in the hereafter. So we got the first part of our answer, that not all comfort zones are bad. Depends what things you have put in your life as comfort zones. Now in the next verse, the Holy Quran comes and says that, look, I told you that you can enjoy the blessings of the worldly life, but there are some dangerous things in this worldly life that you have to be careful about. Don't take these things as your comfort zones. It's very dangerous. Don't allow these things to make way into your life, and don't get used to these things. These are wrong and dangerous comfort zones. The next verse. Kul innama harrama rabbi. Tell to the people, O Prophet, that my Lord has only forbidden four things. Al-fawahisha ma dhahara minha wa ma batan. Immoral deeds. Fahisha, bad deeds, lowly deeds that bring down a person, that wreak havoc in the society. Fawahish. The apparent fawahish and the hidden fawahish. Those immoral acts which a person performs openly. And you know, in today's world, many of these fawahish are performed openly. Wama batan, those which are hidden. So the first thing which the Holy Quran is saying, that look, you can have comfort and you can have comfortable life. Just make sure that none of these things slowly come into your lives. Fawahish. Wal ithm, sins. The second thing which Quran is saying, innama harrama rabbi al ithm. Don't go close to sins. Dangerous. Third thing, وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. Oppressing others, snatching away people's rights. بَغْيَ. And the fourth thing, وَأَن تُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا. The fourth thing which Allah has forbidden is doing shirk, turning attention to other than Allah, turning away from Allah, missing the goal, missing the target. The target was Allah, and now this person is doing shirk. Allah says, no, innama harrama rabbi. Allah is saying these things shouldn't be there. So now, isn't it logical, sensible, intellectual to listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and benefit from the halal comforts which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given for us? Hiya lilladina amanu, it's for you. And avoid those things which are destructive for us. So we need to be careful. I need to be careful. So all these things which I have been saying during these days, they are first addressed to me before they are addressed to you. I am one of you. I need all these things more than you. So we need to be careful how we organize our life. How do we do different things, arrange different things in our lives? And let me tell you a secret. If you acquire something which is the wrong comfort zone, if you acquire something which is not supposed to be part of your life, but you have acquired it and now it's become something which you are used to, this bad comfort zone is not a comfort zone in reality. You feel comfortable by having this thing in your life. But if this person sees carefully, he's getting temporary comfort, and this temporary comfort is causing a lot of discomfort later on for himself and for those around this person. So if you see, truly it's no comfort. Let me give you an example. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. I'm very sure the example I'm going to give is not there in our community. I'm quite sure about that. So imagine a person who drinks alcohol. Okay. Question: why do people drink alcohol? Are they crazy? Are they mad? They're spending their money. The answer is no. They get comfort when they drink. That state of intoxication, they enjoy it. They drink because they want to forget, they want to run away from worries of life. Many are those pleasures of a sa'ah, of a short period, that have led to a very long discomfort and huzn. Problems. If you get a bit of comfort, you negate it with a lot of discomfort. So it's very, I want to ask this to myself, is such comfort worth it? I mean, should I invest in these kind of comforts? Answer is no, it's not worth an investment. Why? I'm investing a lot, I'm not getting back much, it's loss, I'm losing out. So it's very simple, my brothers and sisters. We don't need to complicate things too much. Islam has not asked from us a lot. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is not asking a lot from us. He's just saying that fix these few things, you'll be fine. You'll enjoy your worldly life. We'll help you will be there for you, and we will make sure that you have a comfortable position in the hereafter. So we need to be careful. We need to know that Islam is not a difficult religion. It has not come to make life difficult for you. وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah has not placed any haraj, unbearable difficulty that you have to bear because of following Islam. No, there's no such thing in deen. بُعِثْتُ بِشَرِيَةٍ سَمْحَةٍ سَهْلًا. It's a narration from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So he says, I have been raised with an easy and accommodating and flexible sharia. Shari'atin samhatin sahla. The shari'at is not very difficult. It doesn't put you in extreme difficulty. It's easy to follow. So we need to take the middle path. And unfortunately, when it comes to the question of being Islamic, following Islam, people tend to go on extremes. Okay. So one extreme is that you have these group of people who call themselves intellectuals, I don't know, very learned people, enlightened people. They say, we have an enlightened understanding of Islam. And when you ask them, okay, can you tell me what it means? Every single day they'll come and they'll cut out parts from Islam. So they have a scissor, and day one, cut hijab. You don't need to do hijab. Times have changed. We live in modern times. Day one, one thing is gone. Day two, they'll pick another topic, another issue, remove it from Islam. It's not there, we don't have dalil. Different ways. I don't have time to get into the details and examples because that's not my topic. But you know this is happening. That people come in the name of being intellectual, and some of them have high academic credentials. Some of them have a PhD. The word itself is enough to make you fear that, oh, this guy has a PhD and he's saying this. There must be some truth in it. But if we follow this path, then what happens is that everything from Islam goes, just the name remains. So you have a box, a very beautiful box, and on the box it's written Islam. When you open it, there's nothing. There's nothing that Islam says. So definitely we don't want to take such a path. It sometimes is referred to as the liberal Islam, liberal Muslims. I want to share a small story here. It's not a real story, it's a story which is there for us to learn a lesson. This story is mentioned by Maulana Rum, okay, the famous Persian poet, Rumi, as they call it in, as they refer to him in English. So he mentions a story in his Mathnawi, the book of his poetry. He says that there was a person, a young man, who thought he's very brave, and he said that I want to go and I want to make a tattoo on my shoulder. Okay. So he says, okay, let me go. He goes to this person who makes the tattoos. I don't know what these things are called, tattoo maker or whatever you want to call it. So he goes and he says that, look, make a fierce lion on my shoulder. A fierce looking lion on my shoulder. He says, okay, no problem. Okay. In those days, they used to use needles to make, to do this tattooing stuff. So now he says that, okay, let me start. So he takes the needle and he starts making the tattoo. As soon as he pricks the needle, it pains. It's needle and it's your body, it's going to pain. So as soon as he gets the pain, and the pain is very sharp, so he says that, oh, can you tell me, what are you drawing right now? So he says, I've started with the legs of the lion. So he says, leave the legs, it's okay. You can have lion without the legs. You're making a tattoo, it's fine. So he says, okay, no problem. He starts again, he pricks the needle, he feels the pain. He says that, oh my God, wait, what are you drawing? So he says, I'm drawing the tail of the lion. He said, leave it. You can have lion without a tail. One by one, he starts telling him, omit this, leave this, cut this. A point comes where this tattoo maker is frustrated. He says that I have never seen such a lion in my life. A lion which has no tail, no legs, no ears, no teeth. Come on, at least make the teeth to make it look like a lion. This story may sound funny, but sometimes some people can do the same thing with religion. Come on, at least keep something. Don't cut out everything. If you remove this, if you remove this, if you remove this, if you remove hijab, if you remove salat, if you remove hajj, if you remove homes, remove everything, then what remains? Really, we have never seen an Islam which is Islam still, but all these parts are missing. So definitely we don't want to take a path like this. This is one extreme. Now we have another extreme as well, where some people, they portray religion and being religious and acting according to what Islam has told us, they make it look very difficult. They come and tell things to the people which puts a heavy load on their hearts. They say that, oh my God, it's very difficult, I can't take it, it's hard to be religious. Even that way of thinking is wrong. No. So for this also, let me narrate a story for you. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And this is a real story. And it's a story from the time of our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. There was a person living in Medina. So we know Imam Sadiq was in Medina. There was a person living in Medina, a Muslim, and he had a Christian neighbor. This narration, this story is narrated in Usulul Kafi, in Al-Kafi. So this person, so a Muslim, there's a Christian who's his neighbor. So this Muslim thinks that I need to guide my neighbor. He's a Christian, but he's not on the right path. I need to have a discussion with him, a dialogue with him. I need to invite him to Islam. So he undertakes this noble duty of doing tabligh and inviting others towards Islam. He goes, he speaks to him, they have a discussion, different things, different arguments. This person is convinced. Okay, he says, okay, I am convinced, I'm going to become a Muslim. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So alhamdulillah, this person accepts Islam. Okay. His first day in Islam. 1 hour before Fajr, someone knocks on his door. He says, who is it? He said, I'm your neighbor. It's time for Salatul Layl. Let's go in the mosque. He says, okay, I become a Muslim. I need to be a following Muslim. He goes. They pray Salatul Layl. It's time for Salatul Fajr. They pray Salatul Fajr. This person, he is standing, he wants to go. He says, wait, where are you going? He says, the Salat is over, I'm going home. So he says, no, it's time for Ta'qibat. There are so many du'as to be recited after Salatul Fajr. Let's finish Ta'qibat and then you can go. So he makes him sit in the mosque till Tulu'ush Shams, till sunrise, and makes him recite the du'as. Then he says that, okay, am I done? Can I go now? So he said, no, this is your first day in Islam. I mean, today you can do a bit more ibadah. Okay, the story continues. I'm skipping some parts. So what he does, he makes him stay in the masjid till Zohr. Okay. Then he says that before Zohr, he says, it's the time for the nafila of Zohr. let's pray nafila. He says, okay. Salatul Zuhr, okay. Makes him wait till the Isha time. Okay. Then it's Isha finishes, he says that, look, there's not much time left for Maghrib. Now by the time you'll go home and come back, it will be Maghrib, you won't be able to use your time. Stay in the mosque. He said, okay. So he makes him stay in the masjid till night. And at night he says that, you have been a very pious Muslim. Now you can go home. So this poor guy, he returns to his house. Okay. I don't know in what state he entered his house. Next day, again, 1 hour before Fajr, someone again knocks on the door. And now he knows, it's my neighbor. He opens the door, the neighbor tells him, Salatul Layl, we need to go. He says that, look, I am not a very rich person. I have a family to feed. I have work. I mean, if you tell me that your religion tells me to do this every day, I'm really sorry. I can't follow such a religion. I'm sorry. Khudafis, he closes the door. Now this story comes and one of the companions narrates it for Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. So when Imam hears this story, he says something, and that I want to mention. He says that أَخْرَجَهُ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ مِنْ بَابِ الَّذِي أَدْخَلَ. From the same door, the door of Islam, from which he made him enter the religion, from the same door he made him exit. He made him exit Islam. Why? Because he didn't give him, yes, he invited him to Islam. And that was a noble duty that he did. He made him a Muslim. He convinced him. But after he was made a Muslim, he was not given the right perception of Islam. The result was that he thought that if a religion is going to be so strict and I can't do other things, then I can't. It's very difficult for me. He leaves Islam. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from all of us, that we take the middle path, we take the path, the balanced path. We avoid going to both extremes, neither make it look so strict that I can't manage it, neither make it so open that now nothing remains of Islam. So I'm going to translate the verse which I recited in the beginning. And this is what Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is telling us today. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِ. Strive in the way of Allah the way it is deserved to be strived. هُوَ اِجْتَبَاكُمْ. You are chosen people. Don't underestimate your value. You are chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get this blessing of Islam, to get this blessing of wilaya, to get this blessing of Imam al-Husayn. وَمَا جَعْلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. He has not made deen difficult for you. What is this deen? مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ Ibrahim. This is the path of Ibrahim. هُوَ سَمَّاكُمُ الْمُسْلِمُونَ. He gave you this beautiful name, Muslims, people who submit. And then the verse continues, and then after Allah has told us that, look, religion is not so difficult, then it says, فَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةِ وَأَعْتَصِمُوا بِاللَّهِ هُوَ مَوْلَاكُمْ فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. Hold fast to Allah. Be with Allah. Be with Islam. Be with Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. Don't leave him. We need to stick to him. We need to carry on this path. What will be the result? Huwa maulakum. Allah will be your guardian. Fa ni'ma al-mawla. Who is better as a guardian than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Wa ni'ma al-nasir. Who is better to help than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we need to take the balanced path. We need to make sense out of our lives here in this world. Why am I here? What am I doing here? What's the path I need to take? I need to think about these things. And I need to be careful that I don't follow those people that don't know what they are doing themselves. The modern world in which we live, believe me, the modern world, the Western civilization itself doesn't know what it is doing. They have no idea where they themselves are going. They are lost. فَلَا تَكُونُ كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. Do not be like those people who forget Allah, who forgot Allah, who turned their back to religion. The result of forgetting Allah, turning your back to religion is فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. Allah made them forget themselves. They themselves have no idea where they are going. Believe me. And this is another secret I want to tell you. And that is that the Western civilization has not been successful in establishing an ideal society. No, they have not been. They are far from it. They are very far from it. They have failed to alleviate the pains of humanity. We need to open our eyes and look at the world. Believe me, Arusha is not equal to the world. World is much bigger. There are many things going on in the world. I need to open and see there is poverty today in the world. I don't have time to go into the statistics. You'll be alarmed if you come to know that how much poverty we have today. There are wars going on, making life miserable for millions of people. There is income inequality, drug abuse, assault on the woman. And not only others are suffering, their own societies are suffering. Even their own societies, they haven't been able to even achieve those goals which they set for themselves materially. United States, which says that it's the ultimate, it's the dreamland where everyone yearns to go. Some people think that Allah's promised heaven is there. No, it's not Allah's promised heaven. They are grappling with serious social problems. Poverty in America, hunger, people sleeping hungry. Drug abuse, it's a big problem that they're facing today. Assault on the woman. Go and see the statistics, you'll be shocked. Police shootings, police killing their own people. Every year, at least 1,000 people are killed by the police. Prisons in America, another story. I don't have time to go into the details. I mentioned one other example, gun violence. It's become a problem for them. Our friends in Qom who are from United States, they tell us that we fear to send our children to school. There's that hidden fear that, who knows, someone will pop up with a gun and is just going to come and shoot people. It's not easy to live in that environment. It's become a problem for them. Every other day you have news of someone coming from somewhere and shooting someone. And you know what, they come up, this person who's heading this whole government, he comes up with an ingenious solution to solve the problem of gun violence. So he comes and he makes a suggestion that, look, I know how to solve this one. I know I have messed up in other places, but this one I can solve. Very easy. How do you get rid of this problem of gun violence? With more guns. How? You make more guns. You hire security firms to guard the schools and will give bodyguards to the teachers who are armed. Subhanallah. Ingenious, isn't it? That you want to solve the problem of gun violence, there's a simple solution to that. Change your laws. But that's not going to happen. Why? Because the gun-making lobby is so powerful that it will not so easily evolve. Why? Because it's business for them. The articles written about this, you can go and read that. Simple solution, make the gun law stricter, don't give people guns, it's dangerous. No, it doesn't happen. Still today you can go and buy guns, automatic rifles and the whole variety of things that are out there. The point I'm trying to make, and my time is finishing, is that we cannot afford to follow those people who they themselves don't know what they're doing. It's not that everything happens on that side of the sea is planned, they carefully think about what we are doing and then they implement it. No, it doesn't happen like that. Different things come in their society because of different reasons. It creates a lot of problems. Then they sit and think that, oh, it's become a big problem. We need to do something. It happens the other way around. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So we need to take a path which is the balanced path. Again, I'm just going to mention this narration from Amirul Mumineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. Very beautiful. He says, Al-Yameenu wa Shimal Madalla. Don't go left and right. It's misguidance. Don't stray away from the path. Left and right is misguidance. وَالطَّرِيقُ الْوُسْطَى هِيَ الْجَادَى. Take the middle path, that's the highway. Take the middle path, that's the highway. Then he explains what he means by the highway. He says, عَلَيْهَا بَاكِ الْكِتَابُ وَآثَارُ النُّبُوَّةِ. You want to know what this highway and the straight path is? It's the Quran and the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Let me summarize what I have been trying to say. I bring you back to the question I asked in the beginning. What does Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam want from us today? The answer is very simple. We need to identify those wrong comfort zones in our lives. Everyone can do that for themselves. I have my own comfort zones. When I look at them, I need to know that, no, I need to change this for something better. So this is what Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is asking us today. Make a bit of change in your life. Reform it. And he's telling us that, look, I gave my sacrifice so that this reform could happen. إِنَّمَا خَرَجْتُ لِتَلَبِ الْإِصْلَاحِ فِي أُمَّةِ جَدِّي. Are we not the ummah of the Holy Prophet? Yes, we are. So the Imam al-Hussein is telling us that, look, I've given this sacrifice so that the nation of my grandfather can change, can take a step towards becoming better human beings. And believe me, Hussein cares a lot for us. He really, really cares for every single one of us. He really cares for the entire humanity. There's a true story that I wanted to share to show you how much Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam cares for us. But I'll leave it for the coming nights. It's a very interesting true incident that I'm going to mention to show how much he cares for us. But for today, I just want to read this line from the Ziyarat of Arba'een. So you all know that one of the signs of a mu'min is Ziyaratu Arba'een. So there is a specific Ziyarat that we have that it is recommended to recite on the day of Arba'een. In that Ziyarat, our sixth Imam is telling us that, look how much Imam al-Hussein cares for all of you. So this sentence says, وَبَذَلَ مُحْجَتَهُ فِيك. You know who is Hussein? He's the one who gave his everything in the path of Allah. In your path, O Allah. بَذَلَ مُحْجَتَهُ فِيك. Why? لِيَسْتَنْكِذَ عِبَادَكَ مِنَ الْجِهَالَةِ وَحَيْرَةِ الظَّلَالَةِ. Why did he give this sacrifice? Why? Because he wanted to save, O Allah, your servants from ignorance, from jihala, from wandering, lost in misguidance, مِنْ حَيْرَةِ الظَّلَالَةِ. He wanted to take people out from ignorance, from misguidance, from going here and there, looking for meaning of life, looking for a path to follow, a person to stick to. Imam al-Hussein says that, I am that person, come to me. If you stick to me, if you join me, I will take you till the destination. So what should I do? Last words, very simple. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam has a lot of patience. He is ready to wait for me. He just wants that I take one step. I make one change. If I feel it's too heavy for me to change myself completely in a short period, Imam al-Hussein is saying, it's okay, take your time. But don't despair. Don't stop. Take at least that first step. Make the intention to at least fix one thing. And I say this to myself, I need to go and review myself and identify that one thing that I want to promise Aba Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam, that this Muharram, I make a commitment with you, O Aba Abdullah, in order to respect your sacrifice and the sacrifice of your family and your children, I make one commitment that this one thing I'll try to change. Believe me, it becomes very easy. And this is how we are. Changing from one comfort zone to another comfort zone is very easy. It just takes that first effort, first step, and first determination that I want to change. You make the determination, you take the first step, you change it for the first time, you repeat it 2-3 times, now it becomes easy for you. So something which looked very hard, which shaitan was telling you, you are going to change, you. الشيطان يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرَ. One of the tricks of shaitan that he plays on me is that he tells me that you want to change. No, you can't. You are fakir, you are weak, you can't change. The answer is that no, it's easy to change. And this is how we are. I repeat a new action a few times, it becomes easy for me. Let me give you my own example. So when I wore this libas, this thing which normally the people who have studied to a certain level in Hausa can wear, believe me, in the first days it's very difficult. You feel very different. Why? Because whole your life you are used to dressing in a certain manner. From the childhood I was dressing like everyone would dress, the normal dressing. Now you suddenly change to a completely new way of dressing. The first days it's difficult. You feel a bit different. Especially if the weather is hot, you really feel hot in these clothes. Why? Because it's 3 layer of clothes. So that discomfort is there, but you do it, you wear these clothes for 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, after a very short period of time, I got used to it. And now, it's as if nothing has changed. I don't feel the burden of wearing these clothes. I don't even feel any different from what I was before. Why? Because I got used to it. And now, that I have gotten used to it, I really enjoy wearing this. Why? Because it's a copy of what the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam used to wear. So we have the narrations that how the Ahlul Bayt and the Holy Prophet used to dress. They used to have an amama, they used to have a kaba, they used to have an abba. So it's kind of trying to copy that. So you feel good that I'm trying to copy them even in their dressing style. The second reason I feel good when I wear this is because it reminds me that, oh, I'm a servant of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. I'm a proud servant. I'm wearing this libas. It makes me very proud that I have the tawfiq to do service to Ahlul Bayt and Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. تو عزیزو امام حسین علیہ السلام بس ایک چیز ہم سے ان راتوں میں مانگ رہے ہیں, ایک قدم اپنی زندگی کو اصلاح کرنے کی طرف. پہلا قدم ہم بڑھائیں, باقی امام حسین علیہ السلام کو سونپ دے, پھر خود امام حسین علیہ السلام آ کر ہماری مدد کریں گے. اور جس موضوع پر انشاءاللہ کل میں اپنی گفتگو کو آگے بڑھاؤں گا وہ یہ ہے کہ یہ ہم سب کی ضرورت ہے کہ ہم اپنی زندگی کو ایک بیلنسڈ زندگی کی طرف لے جائیں, کہ ہمارے زندگی میں امبیلنس نہ ہو, کسی چیز کوئی ایسی چیز نہ ہو جو حد سے زیادہ ہو, ہر چیز اپنی جگہ پر. انشاءاللہ کل اس پر گفتگو ہوگی. بس آخری ایام ہیں عزاداری کے, جتنا ہو سکے کوشش رہے گی اہل بیت علیہ السلام کے مصائب آپ کے سامنے ذکر ہو. سات محرم کی رات آ چکی ہے. صلی اللہ علیک یا ابا عبداللہ, صلی اللہ علیک یا ابن رسول اللہ, صلی اللہ علیک یا رحمت اللہ الواسع. او مائی سیلیٹیشنز اپون اللہز ایکسٹینسیو مرسی. صلی اللہ علیک یا باب نجات الامہ, میرا سلام ہو اس ذات پر جو پوری امت کی نجات کا دروازہ ہے. ایک اہم کردار کربلا کے اندر, کربلا میں جو بچے اور نوجوان موجود ہیں ان کا ہے, کہ ان ایام سے جو ہم گزر رہے ہیں یہ کربلا کے ان پھول جیسے بچوں کا, ان نوجوانوں کا تذکرہ ہے. کل ہم نے اون محمد کا ذکر کیا, آج جناب قاسم اور جناب قاسم کے ساتھ ان کے بھائی عبداللہ ابن الحسن کا بھی آج انشاءاللہ ہم تذکرہ کریں گے. تو کربلا کے اندر یہ نوجوان موجود ہے. بس ایک نقطہ آپ کے سامنے عرض کرنا چاہتا ہوں اور چند جملے مصائب کے, اور وہ نقطہ یہ ہے کہ دیکھیں کربلا کے اندر جو نوجوان موجود ہے یہ بچے, ان میں اور عام اور معمولی بچوں میں بہت فرق ہے. ہم انہیں عام انسان نہ سمجھیں. وجہ کیا ہے؟ کیونکہ یہ وہ بچے ہیں جنہوں نے اہل بیت کے گھرانے میں تربیت پائی ہے, ان کا مقام کچھ اور ہے, ان کی معرفت کچھ اور ہے, ان کا درجہ کچھ اور ہے, ان کی سمجھ اور بصیرت کچھ اور ہے. عمر کم ہے, 9 سال کی عمر, 11 سال کی عمر, 14 سال کی عمر, نوجوان ہے لیکن ایک عام نوجوان کی طرح نہیں ہے. اور یہی کمال ہے کربلا کی ماؤں کا کہ انہوں نے ایسے بچے تربیت کیے جو کم عمر میں عرفان اور توحید کے بلند مقام پر فائز ہیں. اور یہی وجہ ہے کہ کربلا کے اندر یہ تمام نوجوان جو موجود ہیں وہ خود چاہ رہے ہیں کہ اپنی قربانی امام حسین علیہ السلام کے لیے پیش کریں. کسی نے انہیں مجبور نہیں کیا. ہاں ماؤں نے سفارش ضرور کی, لیکن ماں کی سفارش اگر نہ بھی ہوتی یہ بچے خود چاہ کر امام حسین کی راہ میں اپنی قربانی پیش کرنے پہنچ جاتے. دیکھیں بہت عجیب واقعات پیش آتے ہیں کربلا میں. جناب علی اکبر علیہ السلام کو چھوڑ کر باقی جتنے نوجوان امام حسین کی خدمت میں پہنچتے ہیں اجازت مانگنے کے لیے, امام اجازت نہیں دیتے, بہت روکتے ہیں, الگ الگ بہانے لاتے ہیں کہ اجازت نہ دی جائے. لیکن اتنا اصرار تھا ان بچوں کا, ان نوجوانوں کا, کہ امام حسین آخر میں اجازت دے دیتے. तो ये फर्क है इन बच्चों का कि इनकी मारिफत बहुत बुलंद है, ये सब कुछ समझ रहे हैं। उम्र कम है लेकिन मारिफत और इरफान का मकाम बहुत बुलंद है। आज की रात 7 मुहर्रम की रात आए इमाम हसन अलैहिस्सलाम के 2 फूल जैसे बच्चे उनका तस्करा करें। देखे तमाम अहले बैत अलैहिमुस्सलाम इमाम हुसैन के गम में महजून है। खुद इमाम हसन अलैहिस्सलाम भी जानते थे कि इमाम हुसैन अलैहिस्सलाम पे कौन सी मुसीबतें आने वाली है, और इसीलिए तमाम अहले बैत पंजतने पाक ये हमेशा हुसैन को एक खास निगाह से देखते, वो मज़लूमियत की निगाह, कि जब भी हुसैन को देखते हुसैन की मज़लूमियत याद आ जाए। कि तारीख ने यह वाकया लिखा है कि जब इमाम हसन अलैहिस्सलाम का साथ उनके साथियों ने छोड़ा और बहुत गुर्बत का आलम था इमाम हसन अलैहिस्सलाम पे, इमाम हसन बहुत गरीब इमाम है, ये वो इमाम है जिनका साथ खुद उनके साथियों ने छोड़ा। हत्ता ये वक्त आ गया कि बाज लोगों ने बड़ा गुस्ताखाना जुमला इमाम से कहा, कहा या मुज़िल अल मुमिनीन, मैं तर्जुमा नहीं कर सकता। जब इमाम हसन अलैहिस्सलाम की गुर्बत को देखा कि तमाम लोग छोड़कर जा चुके हैं, और आप जानते हैं ऐसी गुर्बत है मौला हसन की कि खुद इमाम हसन की जौजा ने उन्हें जहर देकर शहीद कर दिया। जब ये गुर्बत का आलम देखा तो इमाम हसन की खिदमत में पहुंचे, इमाम हसन के सामने आकर ये कहना शुरू किया कि ए मेरे भैया, आज आप बहुत गरीब है, बहुत गुर्बत का आलम है आप पर, और ये कह के रोना शुरू किया, आंखों से आंसू जारी हो गए। यहां पर इमाम हसन अलैहिस्सलाम ने एक जुमला फरमाया कि ए हुसैन, तुम मेरी मुसीबत पर रो रहे हो, तुम्हें मेरी हालत देखकर आंखों से आंसू तुम्हारे जारी हो रहे हैं, लेकिन ला यौम खयौम खया अबा अब्दुल्ला, लेकिन ए हुसैन तुम्हारा जो दिन होगा रोजे आशूर उस जैसा कोई दिन ना होगा, जो मुसीबत तुम पर आने वाली है वो किसी और पर नहीं आएगी। इमाम हसन अलैहिस्सलाम ने अपने इन 2 फूल जैसे बच्चों को करबला भेज दिया ताकि वक्त के इमाम की ये नुसरत कर सके। आए पहले अब्दुल्ला इब्न हसन का तस्करा करे, इस शहीद का कमतर तस्करा होता है, ये जनाब कासिम के छोटे भाई है। तारीख ने लिखा है इनकी उम्र थी 9 साल की उम्र, कि 9 साल का बच्चा इज्न जिहाद नहीं मिला, लेकिन एक बड़ा अजीब वाकया असर आशूर पेश आता है कि जब असर आशूर का वक्त आया और जब इमाम हुसैन अलैहिस्सलाम घोड़े से करबला की जलती हुई जमीन पर गिरे तो ये बच्चा खेमे से इस मंजर को देख रहा है, कि तारीख में ये लिखा हुआ है, ये बच्चा देख रहा है कि मेरे चचा हुसैन घोड़े से जमीन पर गिर रहे। इस 9 साल के बच्चे को देखा नहीं गया, जैनब का हाथ छुड़ाकर ये बच्चा मक्तल की तरफ भागा, मक्तल की तरफ भागा, अपने चचा हुसैन को देखा कि खून में लथपथ करबला की जमीन पर गिरे हुए हैं, अपने चचा के सीने पर आ गए, अपने चचा को सीने से लगा और एक जुमला कहा, कहा वल्लाही ला उफारिकु अम्मी, मैं अपने चचा हुसैन से जुदा नहीं होऊंगा, वल्लाही ला उफारिकु अम्मी। और इसी वक्त एक जालिम आया ताकि इमाम हुसैन पर एक वार कर सके, और इस बच्चे ने अपना हाथ बीच में डाल दिया और इस बच्चे का हाथ अपने तन से जुदा हो गया। جیسے یہ وار اس بچے پہ لگا اس بچے نے آواز دی یا امہ، اپنی والدہ اپنی ماں کو یاد کیا. جیسے امام حسین نے یہ منظر دیکھا اس بچے کو اپنی گود میں لے لیا، اس کو اپنے آگوش میں لے لیا، اسے اپنے سینے سے لگایا اور کہا کہ اے میرے بیٹا، اے میرے بھائی کی شبی، صبر کرنا، میں اجر تیرے لیے خدا کی بارگاہ میں طلب کرتا ہوں. بس چند لمحہ صبر کر، تو تیرے بابا حسن سے ملاقات کرے گا، اپنے نانا رسول اللہ سے تو ملاقات کرے گا. اور ہاں زیادہ رو، اسی وقت ہرملا نے وہ ایک تیر چلایا، بڑے عجیب تیر ہے، تین تیر ہے کربلا کے جو ہرملا نے چلائے، اسی میں سے یہ ایک تیر ہے کہ یہ بچہ امام حسین علیہ السلام کی آگوش میں ہے اور یہ تیر چلتا ہے اس بچے کے سینے پر لگتا ہے اور یہ بچہ اپنے چچا حسین کی آگوش میں شہید ہو. اجرکم اللہ. آئے عبداللہ کے بھائی قاسم کا تذکرہ. کون ہے قاسم؟ قاسم بھیا حسن کی آخری نشانی، کہ جب بھی قاسم کا چہرہ دیکھتے امام حسین تو بھیا حسن یاد آ جاتا. یہ بھیا کی نشانی کربلا میں ساتھ ہے. شب عاشور آ گئی، بڑا عجیب واقعہ ہے یہ کہ امام حسین نے تمام اصحاب کو ایک خیمے میں جمع کیا اور تمام اصحاب سے کہا کہ یہ لوگ مجھ سے جنگ کرنا چاہتے ہیں، ان لوگوں کی آپ تم سب سے کوئی دشمنی نہیں، تم میں سے جو کوئی چھوڑ کر مجھے جانا چاہتا ہے وہ آزاد ہے، وہ جا سکتا ہے. جب مولا حسین نے یہ جملہ فرمایا تو ایک ایک کر کر اصحاب نے اپنی وفاداری کا اعلان کیا. ایک 14 سال کا بچہ اس خیمے میں پیچھے بیٹھ کر اس منظر کو دیکھ رہا ہے، اس منظر کو دیکھ رہا ہے. قاسم کے ذہن میں خیال آیا کہ میری عمر بہت کم ہے، میں 14 سال کا، کیا مجھے بھی کل یہ سعادت نصیب ہوگی کہ میں مولا حسین کی راہ میں اپنی جان قربان کر دوں؟ اپنے چچا کی طرف رخ کیا اور ایک جملہ کہا، کہا اے میرے چچا، اے میرے آقا حسین، حل انا فی من یقتل، کیا میرا نام بھی کربلا کی شہداء میں ہے؟ کیا کل مجھے بھی موقع ملے گا آپ کی خدمت میں قربانی پیش کروں؟ مولا حسین نے سوال کا جواب سوال سے دیا، اس 14 سال کے بچے سے پوچھا کیف الموت اندک، اے میرے بیٹا حسن، یہ تو بتانا کہ موت تمہاری نگاہوں میں کیسی ہے؟ اس بچے کا جواب دی دیکھیے، اس نے کہا کہ اے میرے آقا حسین، موت آپ کی راہ میں احلا من الاصل، شہد سے بھی زیادہ میرے لیے شیرین ہے موت. جب یہ جواب سنا تو امام حسین نے کہا کہ ہاں بیٹا حسن، میرے حسن کے بیٹا، ہاں بیٹا قاسم، کل تمہاری شہادت بھی پیش ہوگی، لیکن بعد ان تبلغ ببلاء عظیم، لیکن ایک بہت بڑی مصیبت کو برداشت کرنے کے بعد تمہیں شہادت نصیب ہوگی. حاضر دارو، بس آخری جملے مصائب کے ہیں، 7 محرم کی رات ہے، قاسم کا جنازہ ہمیں اٹھانا ہے، عاشور کا دن آ گیا، اہل بیت قربانی پیش کرنے کے لیے آتے، بڑے اسرار چھپے ہوئے ہیں کربلا کے واقعات میں. کہ جب جناب علی اکبر آئے اجازت مانگنے کے لیے تو مولا حسین نے روکا نہیں، فوراً اپنے لال کو اجازت دے دی کہ وہ جائے اپنی قربانی پیش کرے. ہائے میرے مولا حسین، کے دل پر کیا گزری ہوگی کہ یہ چاند جیسا بیٹا وہ مقتل میں بھیج رہے، لیکن جب اور کوئی شہید آتا تو اجازت نہیں دیتے. ہاں زادارو، قاسم مولا حسین کی خدمت میں پہنچتے ہیں اور کہتے ہیں کہ میں مولا حسین، میں چاہتا ہوں اپنی جان کو آپ پر قربان کروں، مجھے اجازت دی دیجئے مقتل میں جانے کی. مولا حسین نے کہا کہ تو تو میرے بھائی کی شبیہ ہے، بھائی کی یادگار ہے، تیرے بعد میں کسے دیکھوں تاکہ مجھے مولا میرے بھائی حسن کی یاد آ سکے؟ جب یہ وقت آیا تو اس بچے نے ایک عجیب کام کیا جو تاریخ نے لکھا ہے. کہ جب دیکھا کہ آقا حسن چچا آقا حسین اجازت نہیں دے رہے ہیں تو تاریخ نے لکھا ہے بدا یکبل یدیہ ورجلیہ, اس بچے نے مولا حسین کے ہاتھ پیر چھومنا شروع کیا, ہاتھ پیر کو چومتا جاتا اور کہتا میرے چچا مجھے اجازت دے دیجئے, مجھے اجازت دے دیجئے. جب حسین نے یہ دیکھا تو اس بچے کو اپنے گود میں لیا, اسے اپنے سینے سے لگایا. تاریخ نے لکھا ہے کہ اس بچے نے اپنے ہاتھوں کو مولا حسین کے گلے میں ڈالا, اپنے آپ کو مولا حسین کے آگوش میں لے لیا. تاریخ نے لکھا ہے کہ ان دونوں نے وہاں اتنا گریہ کیا کہ گوشیا علیہما, دونوں گش کھا کر زمین پر گر گئے. لیکن عزادار اور قاسم کو اجازت مل گئی, قاسم تیار ہو رہے ہیں. کون ہے قاسم؟ یہ چاند کا ٹکڑا ہے جو میدان کربلا میں جا رہا ہے. کہ دشمن نے لکھا کہ جب قاسم گھوڑے پر سوار ہو کر میدان کربلا میں پہنچے تو ایسا منظر تھا کہ چاند نمودار ہو رہا ہے کربلا کی زمین پر. کم اتل کمر, تاریخ نے لکھا ہے کہ چاند کا ٹکڑا نمودار ہو رہا ہے. ہاں, اس حسن کے بیٹے نے, حسن کے شیر نے بہت جنگ کی, لیکن ایک گروہ نے امام حسن کے اس بیٹے کو چاروں طرف سے گھیر لیا. تاریخ نے لکھا ہے 20 گھوڑ سوار تھے جو امام حسن کے اس فرزند پر حملہ ور ہو رہے تھے. جب دیکھا کہ یہ بچہ اب مقاومت نہیں کر سکتا, ان میں سے ایک ظالم آگے بڑھا, اس نے اپنی تلوار سے اس بچے کے سر پر وار لگایا. یہ بچہ گھوڑے سے گرتا ہے, اپنے چچا کو سلام بھیجتا ہے, کہتا یا اما علیک السلام, اے میرے چچا میرا آخری سلام قبول کیجئے. تاریخ نے لکھا ہے کہ امام حسین پہلے سے ہی آمادہ منتظر تھے اپنے گھوڑے پر کہ کب یہ میرا فرزند مجھے پکارے گا اور کب میں اس کے پاس پہنچوں گا. تیزی سے اپنے آپ کو پہنچاتے ہیں, گرد و غبار بلند ہوتا ہے. جب گرد و غبار بیٹھ جاتا ہے تو دشمن کا راوی لکھتا ہے کہ کیا منظر دیکھا گیا, حسین زمین پر ایڑیاں رگڑ رہے ہیں. یفسح الغلام رجلیہ علی الارض, یہ بچہ اپنی ایڑیوں کو زمین پر رگڑ رہا ہے. مولا حسین پہنچے, اس بچے کے سر کو اپنی آگوش میں لیا اور کہا عز اللہ علی امی, کہ بہت مشکل ہے کہ تیرا چچا تجھے اس حالت میں دیکھے, تو پکارتا رہے اور وہ تیری مدد نہ کر پائے. آئے قاسم شہید ہو گئے. لیکن ایک بڑا عجیب کام امام حسین نے انجام دیا کہ جب علی اکبر شہید ہوئے تو کہا کہ اے بنی ہاشم آؤ, اکبر کی لاش کو خیموں کی طرف لے جاؤ. لیکن جب قاسم کے لاشے پر پہنچے تو خود اپنے دونوں ہاتھوں سے اس ننی سی لاش کو اپنے ہاتھوں میں اٹھایا, اپنے سینے سے لگایا, خود اپنے ہاتھوں سے اس لاش کو لے کر خیموں کی طرف واپس آ گئے. سیعلم الذین ظلموا ای منقلب ینقلبون, انا للہ و انا الیہ راجعون.